Moncrief on News Talk.
It's still the case that only a minority of people in this country have made a will, about a third of us. But what if you're only in your 20s? Do you have anything to leave behind and who should get it? We're joined by Jacqueline Dunn from Dunn Solicitors. Good afternoon, Jacqueline.
Hi, good afternoon, Sean. Thank you for having me.
If you are in your 20s and something unfortunate happens to you and you haven't made a will, who would kind of, under the law, inherit what goods you have?
So it applies no matter what age you are. So if you die without a will, it's the intestacy laws determine what happens to your estate. So if you go on to the Succession Act, I always say, is like your Bible when it comes to wills and probate. And it would be set out there, the intestacy laws state that if you were to die without a will and you have parents alive, so let's say you're not married, you've no kids, but you have parents alive, then for that young person in their 20s, whatever they have would go directly to their parents. If they had no parents, let's say their parents had predeceased them, it would go to their siblings equally. So I did, it's so rare that I will have a young person come in to me to do a will. I will be honest, I think the majority of my clients that come in to me to do a will be probably 60 years plus, or else if they're younger, they tend to be couples who have kids and are looking to make a will to name trustees and guardians if the kids are under 18. But I did on one occasion have a young girl, I think she was only about 20, and she had a modest estate, a lot more than I had at 20 now. I think it was about 18 to 20,000 that she had.
Oh, wow.
We did the will for her, and she wanted to leave it to her siblings. She had a brother and sister. And I asked her afterwards, I said, what motivated you to do the will? And she said, it's not that I don't have a good relationship with my parents. I do. I have a very good relationship. But my parents have plenty of money. And I feel that I'd like this money to go to my brother and sister. And I had seen that the intestacy laws would have meant that it would have gone directly to my parents if I died without a will. So I just wanted to safeguard it for my brother and sister.
Yeah, that's very sensible. And now, if you, because this can is fiendishly complicated, the law around this. If you even have made a will and you've left everything to, say, your siblings, but one of your siblings has predeceased you, but they were married, can their spouse have a claim on what you're leaving behind?
Not necessarily, but where there is a section in the Act is, let's say you were a parent, and there's a specific section in this Succession Act where, let's say you're a parent, you have two daughters, let's say, who are married. They have no kids, maybe they're young, they're in their 20s, they're newly married, and let's say one of your daughters predeceased you, so died before you. You have a will, you've left everything to your two daughters, but one of your daughters passed away and you don't go back to change your will. Maybe you're grief-struck, you don't even think about it, and then you pass away. So now your will is saying that you're leaving everything to your two daughters, but one of them is already deceased. So this Succession Act protects that deceased child's share. It deems it as though that child survived the parent and then died. So if, let's say they had no will. So in this case, let's say that daughter was married, had no children of their own. The law states then that her estate goes to her husband. So
wow.
You could have a situation there then that this daughter's share, predeceased daughter's share, now goes to this new husband who's obviously just recently widowed, but he will obviously go on, get married, have kids. And that means half your estate has gone to potentially this other family and will never be seen. So it's really important in that case, just to safeguard it, that you'd put in a paragraph into your will to say that if any of my children do predecease me, I wanted that either their share goes to their children, if I have grandchildren, but if they die without children and with a spouse, that it would go back into the estate, it would go back to the sibling. Because if you don't put that in, and it's I was contacted, I do a lot of social media, and there was a lady that contacted me that said that exactly that thing happened, where it wasn't put into the will, and her sister, her deceased sister's share, went to this new husband that they weren't particularly fond of anyway.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Let me read a message that's been sent in to us. I went abroad to work in my 20s and I made a will, seeing up the disposition of my property savings, items to my friends, etc. Then I bought a house at 28 and made a will then to leave the house to my youngest sister. I also wanted to make sure my body was brought back if I died abroad. Can you put that in a will? Can you say there's, you know, so much money left to transport me home and give me a good burial?
Yeah, you certainly can. You'd have named an executor, so your executor's job would be to follow your wishes that are set out in your will. So if you've set aside money to repatriate your body back to Ireland, I do know that there is an Irish group that does that for you, I think, free of charge anyway. But yes, certainly you can put it in if you wanted it. And you make sure that you name an executor in your will that you trust, that you know has a good head on their shoulder and will be able to deal with a situation like that, because I assume that would be a big enough job. Mm. So you'd have to be somebody that you trust that would be capable of taking on that responsibility.
Yeah, controversial question on that point, Jacqueline. In your experience, is it better to have one executor, or is two executors worse than one executor?
The Law Society recommends always to have two executors. Now, I was doing an estate recently where there were four executors named. There were four children and the parents didn't want to pinpoint any one child, so they picked four. It does make life a little bit more difficult for the solicitor, because now all of a sudden I'm having to meet four different people, and if they are all working different hours, that's four different appointments. And of course, I'll have to charge accordingly. That's four additional hours or three additional hours. A lot of my clients will have two. They'll have maybe the two eldest children or two nieces, two nephews, whatever the case may be. So definitely recommendation is to have two.
Yeah. And the reason why would be just one in case one's hit by a bus kind of thing.
Well, if one, if it's a very big estate, if you're talking about now a farm and you name, for example, just one nephew to look after it all, it's the executor's job to look after, let's say there's stock, there's machinery, there's animals going off to the mart after you pass away, it's a big job for just one executor. If you've got a smaller estate, yes, you can name just one. But if something was to happen to that executor, so let's say the executor can't actually sign the probate documents because they're not capable, maybe they're ill or maybe they've passed away, then there is a section in the Succession Act, again, that says that one of the residuary legatees, so every will will have a residue clause. It's kind of like the catch-all. So it's like, I leave my house to Joe Bloggs, I leave X amount of cash to Mary Bloggs, and whatever else is left to my estate, I leave to X, Y, or Z. X, Y, or Z, in that case, will be able to step in as executor.
Right. OK, I understand you. Just going back to what you were saying earlier on about if a daughter who was married predeceases the parents that her spouse could inherit. Somebody wants to know, what if the daughter that has passed away has a husband she separated from but never divorced? Is legally that still the same thing as being married?
It is. Yeah. They're not separated.
Yeah.
Even another thing that a lot of people aren't aware about is, let's say, like you'd come across a lot of couples where they might have separated. They might be separated 10, 15, 20 years. They don't even really know where each other are living. They're not in each other's lives, but they never went to court, never got their divorce. If one of those that got the spouse, the husband or wife, die, the surviving spouse, even though they're separated, they're still legally your spouse and they're entitled to claim what's called the legal right share. And the legal right share is 50% of your estate if you have no children, and it's one third if you do have children. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to contest your will. They're quite entitled to go to the executor to say, I'm seeking my legal right share. So you can make your will. So let's say when you're separated, make your will changing it that you're not leaving everything to your spouse anymore because you're separated. But a divorce is really, really important because of that section of the Act, the legal right share of the surviving spouse.
Wow, yes. Can you ask, if you inherit a share in a property, can you refuse it? And does your share go to the other beneficiaries?
So you can disclaim your inheritance, yeah. And then it falls into the residue of the estate. So yeah, you don't have to take your inheritance if you don't want to. But the recommendation is, if you don't want to take it, make sure you sign a disclaimer as soon as possible after the death of the testator.
Yeah. That's an unusual one, or is it?
I can't imagine that you would want to.
Yes.
Well,
I don't know why. It's fascinating nonetheless. Jacqueline, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Jacqueline Dunn of Dunn Solicitors, I should say.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.